What is going on, everybody? Tony Velasco here, and we are about to kick off episode number one of the Tony V Experiment, the inaugural issue number one.
The inaugural.
With our GM of Afterburn Valencia, Mr. Adam Hatley.
What's up, guys?
This super pumped to be here, guys, and just excited to get this thing going. This is something that I've kind of wanted to do for a while. So what the heck is this show going to be about? Why the heck are you going to want to tune in? At the end of the day, we're going to be talking a lot about business stuff. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship and all of that, but it's going to go way deeper than all of that. I want to talk about current events, stuff that matters. Today, we are going to go, we're going to get real deep, day one. we're going to kind of go for the fences right here out of the gate. So, but at the end of the day, kind of ironically, what came about as the name of the show ended up being kind of, it ended up tied up being perfectly. So the Tony V Experiment, as we were thinking about the name, and actually Allison, my lovely wife, is the one who came up with the name, the experiment. And as she said it, because I want to do something different. I didn't want to do the Tony V Show or the Tony V Experience. Like, I mean, that's what everything's named. So I want to do something different, hence the name Experiment. But after she said it, I realized that honestly it ties in perfectly with life. There's absolutely or almost nothing in life that is a for sure thing. Everything we do in life is an experiment. It's trials and tribulations. It's trying something out, failing, trying again. It's testing the waters and seeing what we're good at, what we like, and then, you know, finding the result hopefully at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, life is an experiment, and this show is about all of that. It's about trials and tribulations. It's about failures. It's about successes. It's about everything in between, hence the name, hence why we're here, and why there was no better person to bring on for this very first episode than the man sitting next to me, Mr. Adam Hatley, the general manager of the Afterburn Valencia Club, who has been here with us literally from day one.
Day one, yeah. And I feel honored, by the way, to be the first one on this show. So it's kind of something that will give me bragging rights from here on out.
That's right.
Especially when, you know, you're 1,000 episodes in. I'll be like, I was number one. Don't ever forget that to everyone else. So, yeah. But, yeah, I've been with Afterburn. I've been with you. I mean, Tony and I have known each other for many years. We worked at Spectrum way back when.
That's, yeah.
Way back when he was just young. Still is young, much younger than me.
You were the big dog trainer, and I was a young buck coming in.
I was the big dog trainer, and that was many, many moons ago. But I've been with Afterburn since the doors opened a little bit beforehand. So, you know, it's just been one hell of a ride being part of this journey right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I think the being honored thing obviously goes both ways. I think anybody, and you know, we're gonna work on our viewership, right?
Yeah.
This first episode, it might be a little bit light, but maybe after they see this one, they'll be telling their friends and family and get everyone tuned in. But I thought for this first episode, a lot of our viewership is obviously gonna come from Afterburn, you know, the South Bay Club, Valencia Club, and everyone we know within that.
Yeah.
And so to be able to have you on the show and have that kind of close connection with everybody was meant a lot to me. And I mean, this comes from the bottom of my heart, and I'm saying this to all of you guys out here that are watching. There are not very many men, people, women, anybody that I've met in this world that are as good of a human as you are.
Wow.
There are a lot of qualities, obviously, that one looks for in an individual. You know, if we're talking about work and business, obviously work ethic and drive and all of that means a ton. And obviously, you obviously have that. That's why you do what you do. But there are people in this world that are just good people. And you're one of those dudes. And that's why we love having you be a part of this crew and doing what you do. So so thank you, obviously, for that. Thank you for being a good person.
Well, thank you for calling me a good person. That's awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've got my dirty little secrets. But no. Now that does mean a lot, and you know, it's just something that that I hold dear is you know, try to lead my life that, or treat others as I want to be treated, and just I get my thrill off of helping others and seeing others succeed, or being a part of their journeys is more rewarding to me than actually getting a reward myself. Like, I love watching somebody feel confident in themselves and move forward, or just take one bit of my advice and run with it. So this has been the first place it's actually, I mean, you've actually been one of the only people that's actually allowed me to just be me, and just run with it at Afterburn, which has just opened a floodgate of moments of inspiration. And just, I mean, we've had so many good stories come out of here that we've all helped build, or I'm just kind of mumbling my words, but journeys of other people that have started here and now they're here, and it's just been one hell of a ride. So I feel honored. I love being a good person, of course, but you know, I'm kind of surrounded by good people. So when you surround yourself with the kind of people that you want to learn from and mold after, then you become as well, like those people. So I think, feelings mutual. I'm surrounded by a bunch of good people.
And I think I talk about this a lot, and I'll never forget. I told a story when we've done orientations back when I used to give them before you took over for me here.
Yeah.
But like the idea of the ability to inspire others, like it took me a long time to realize that I had that ability. Yeah. And I was a young kid, came in, started training, was training, training's not cheap. So for the most part, the people that can afford it, they're more financially well off, they're more successful, they're older, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so I come in, I'm thinking, what the heck are these guys gonna be able to get from me? I'm just their trainer. And it took me years to realize, wait a minute, these guys seem in a little bit of a different light.
Yeah.
They do look to me for inspiration. And when that finally clicked for me, I think that's what allowed me to then take it to the next level.
Yeah.
You've obviously seen that, and you embody that. And I think if we could get the world, or just, I mean, that's a big goal, obviously, but just the people in front of us at Afterburn on a daily basis, the people we interact with,
yeah,
if we could get them to understand that the power that they have, the potential that they have to change the person's life next to them. I mean, take a parent, any parent as an example, you know what I mean? Like, If you work out every single day, and your kids see that, your kids see you going to the gym every day, mm-hmm, you come home one day, and then all of a sudden you see your kid like trying to do push-ups, your little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old doing push-ups, they see that, and they embody what they're around. And so whether it's your child, your neighbor, your friend, your family, whoever, we all have the ability to do that. And if we can all just realize that, like, I think will be a better fucking place. So,
that's for damn sure.
So one of the things that I vividly remember, when you first started here, God, it's been what, 2011? Yeah, we opened in 2011.
Yep.
And this is where we're gonna get right to it, guys. It's crazy because one of the biggest reasons I wanted to bring you on the show today,
yeah,
is, we talk about this ability to inspire others. I think one of the first things that has to happen for you to have the ability to inspire others is to have that strength within yourself, that resiliency, that toughness, that belief in yourself first, so that you can then impart that upon others.
Yeah.
And there are certain things, as I'm sure you're going to go into great detail here about, that give us that strength, that give us that ability. And it's how we react and respond to some of the most traumatic instances in our lives that truly shape us. And I'll never forget that it was maybe a few weeks, a month, 2 months, something like that. It was within the first few months, yeah, I believe, of you working with Afterburn, that your dad committed suicide. And I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to have Adam talk about it because I feel it's so powerful. of a message. But the ironic thing about it is you text me the other day, and you didn't even realize it, right?
No. Well, I just realized it looking at the calendar, because I was like, oh, we have our – I was in my appointments, and I was like, oh, we have to – we're doing the podcast that day. And then I looked at the date, and it just like, boom, it hit me.
His birthday.
Yeah.
Today.
Today is his birthday.
So
ironically.
Ironically. Not planned.
Not planned at all, actually. It was a little spooky. A little spooky.
But if you can, talk about it. Everything. What happened? How it shaped you? I mean, I leave the floor to you because this is something I'm really intrigued about.
Well, just to give you a little backstory, you know, growing up, my dad was he was just that just badass of a man. He was law enforcement, football coach, raised three boys. You know, he comes from that kind of disciplined background, but he was always very involved in our lives. But he was just a badass. Like he was huge. I mean, eventually my arms got bigger than his, which was always a big thing that I used to throw in his face. But he was just a manly man, but who took good care of his family and loved his family to death. After I'd grown up and, you know, moved away and started my life and, you know, my brother's doing the same thing, I really don't know, you know, and I really don't need to know a lot of stuff that may have happened to bring him to his decision. But at the end of the day, I learned how to be a man from that man. You know, I learned from his mistakes and I learned from his, you know, from his what he brought. And talk about somebody that was an inspiration. My father was very well known in the community for the exact same thing. He inspired a lot of people to change a lot of careers, helped a lot of people get into careers. I mean, he saved lives. He's been stabbed. He's been shot at. I mean, the man's got a history. So he was definitely, in my eyes, he was my hero. Too soon. Way too soon. Sorry. He was my hero, and I looked up to him, especially when I became a father myself. So fast forward many years of you know, having kids young and struggling to be a young parent and a good parent at that, and always looking to my parents for advice and any kind of help I could get. It was a very weird May day. It was on May 15th. And, you know, I was with my fiance Kim, and we were going back to her house, and she looked over at me and she goes, "What is wrong with you?" And I go, "I don't know. I just got the most eeriest feeling ever." And this is a true story. We get back to her house, and I'm waiting for my kids to come over because the next day is my son's birthday. And we were all going to do something the next day. So we were all, you know, planning that night to have the next day. Well, anyway, I hadn't been at the house for more than, I don't know, 15 minutes. The kids had been dropped off there. And my brother Kyle calls me up. And, you know, which is weird because just out of the blue calls. And, you know, usually we'll text each other and things like that. We don't really call much because no one does these days. But he called me and I just knew it wasn't going to be a good call. So I answer the phone and he goes, you know, he's completely distraught. And he had said, you know, dad died. But they had lied to me. Well, not, I don't want to say lied. They were covering up the truth.
Being the cops?
No, my brother. He didn't want to tell me. He didn't want to tell me what had really happened, that he'd had a heart attack.
Got it. He was lying to you. Your brother's got it.
He was trying to protect me because he didn't know how to tell me. I just lost it right then and there. And of course, everyone's wondering what's going on. And then my kids heard me say that my father had passed away. And then, anyway, soon after that, my brother called back. And it was the weirdest thing. He picked up the phone. I mean, I picked up the phone. I go, "He didn't die of a heart attack, did he? He killed himself."
You said this.
I did. And he's like, "How did you know that?" I go, "I just had this eerie feeling. My father had over time oddly hinted to me that I never really took seriously, that if he ever was going to do it, or, and I don't know why he would tell me stuff like this. And I don't know if it was just because he liked,
he would say that
he would talk to me about,
if I were to do it type of thing.
Yeah. It was just weird. And it came up every now and then. And I was like, oh, Dad, you know, this is a morbid conversation. Why do we have this conversation? Like, you're being ridiculous right now. But anyway, you know, he had told me, yes, I was right. And on that, what had happened was, is, you know, my father, one night, my mom came home, woke him up because he had fallen asleep on the couch. She'd come home from work. And, you know, both of my parents smoke, and but they'd go outside and do it. So my dad, from what I understand, was not in the right frame of mind, went into the garage, and she thought that he was going to smoke. Well, a long time had gone by, and my poor mom goes out there to find him. He had hung himself in the garage, which to this day is just, it's just one of those things you'll never know the answer to. And the worst part of it all is that you'll drive yourself crazy trying to figure out why. And I think that's like the one thing that I grew strong about over the years is stop asking why and just accept.
You always say that.
You know, you always want to ask why and try to have answers, but you're not going to get answers from something like that. And you know, people talk about, oh, it's such a selfish this, it's such a selfish that, and that honestly, that bothers me, because I'm like, I get it if it's happened to you and you want to say it's selfish, because I did for the longest time. But until you've allowed yourself to heal from it and grow from it and learn from it and stop beating yourself up over it, because you even blame yourself. You know, I blame myself for not calling more or being around more or not listening to him when he would say stuff like that. You can't get mad at them for so long. And I was mad at him for so long. And this man was, and I was mad because he was my hero. He was my strength. Like when you have your Superman, your Spider-Man, and this was the man in my life that was the toughest motherfucker I ever knew and who I knew would never allow anything to ever harm me or anyone in my family. And for him to get to that point where he no longer wanted to be here, I'm never going to understand. Or relate to, but it, you know, you get scared because you have his blood running through your veins and you pray that you don't ever become the same way. But I learned that, you know, I'm not that way. I took all of his strength and embodied it in myself and everything that he taught me about being a man, and whatever he had going on was whatever he had going on. I don't hold that against him. And for the longest time, I denounced him as my hero. And it wasn't until recently that he became my hero again, because it took a long time to heal from it. What I did gain from it was a lot of strength to pretty much handle anything tossed in my path. You know, life throws us curveballs all the time, but until you've lost somebody if you've lost somebody that you love dearly, you'll learn more about who you are than I think anything else. Because people are like, oh, I would just lose it. I'm going to die. I'm going to do this. I thought all that too. I mean, after losing him in that fashion, I felt insane. Like, I literally had to go to therapy because I felt crazy. And the best thing the therapist did was let me know, you're not crazy. You're going through, you know, you're grieving. And this is a hard way to grieve. And I'm not saying it's any different losing somebody that dies of natural causes or this, but when somebody you care about takes their own life, that's just so severe that you're so upset or so done with everything that's involved in your world that you don't want it around anymore, that you're just, and you quit. That's what crushed me, because I'm like, you must have been so just heart dead or so just dead inside that not even the fact that my son's birthday or his grandson's birthday was the next day, he picked that day of all days. My son has to remember this for the rest of his life, which he'll always associate May 16th, oh, this is the day after my grandfather, whom he also looked up for, you know, killed himself. And we've all had to grow from it. The one thing that's brought me a lot of strength in this world is, aside from raising children, is death. People are afraid of death. People run away from death. People don't want to talk about death. The one thing I know to be 100% fact in this world is we're all going to die. You know, we are all going to die. When it's going to happen, who knows? But to add on to some more fun stories for you guys, there was a time where I was back home living in Memphis, and I had my two girls. Josephine was just born, and Juliet was about a year old. And we were living in Memphis. I was bartending at a TGI Fridays, of all places. And I'm going to give you the whole story just so you understand. I was getting off work. One of my best friends was at the bar waiting for me to get off work. And one of our other good friends was there too. And we were all talking, and I had to go back and count my drawer down and finish my shift. And the bar sits up on a hill, and down there is this main street. Well, anyway, I go back to the back. I come back out, and everyone's screaming and yelling and freaking out. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I look out the window where everybody's running, and I see a car flipped upside down in the middle of the intersection. I've never been a person that freaks out in any kind of like crazy situation like that. It's just probably something I actually get from my father. We handle that kind of stuff really well. So I ran down there to see if I could help. And there was a car flipped upside down. There was a body right here and another body like far, far away. And what it looked like was a motorcycle was hit by the car, but the car flipped upside down. So I took the pulse of both women in the car, with both elderly women. One of them was dead. The other one had a slight pulse. Nobody else would go near the scene. It was extremely bloody, gruesome. And I mean, it looked like something out of a Hollywood movie. I grabbed the nearest person to say, look, you have to stay with this woman. She has a pulse, talk to her. I go by the next body. His head was removed off his torso. And then the other body was in a fetal position. Well, I go down to take his pulse because I could see him kind of breathing, and
I'm in a fetal position?
Yeah, I'm going to get as graphic as I can because you won't understand the severity of the situation without it. When I went to take his pulse, my fingers went through his neck.
Holy shit.
But when I looked at his face, it was my best friend who was sitting at the bar waiting for me.
Okay, so I thought you were I knew you had a story about your best friend.
Yeah.
And you were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going into a different story right now, that you have three stories. Because I thought the story about your best friend or your friend was something that you knew, you were all hanging out and this happened to him. I didn't know that it was literally
my best friend.
A random thing that happened while you were at work, and then you only found out as you realized, like when you walked up to him.
When I walked up to him and realized that it was him, then I looked back at the decapitated body and it was my other best friend. So what had happened was while I was in literally 15 minutes, a mutual friend of ours came up, rolled up on his new bike. They decided to joyride around the block in less than 1 minute. These old women cut out in front of them. They hit the car at like 90 miles an hour.
So your buddies were on the bike?
My buddies were on the bike with no helmet on. And all of this happened within 15 minutes of me going back and coming back up. So I held my friend, my best friend, until he died in my arms. And then I had to talk to his parents and girlfriend and all that. So I guess the moral of the story is you don't have time to not be a decent person. You don't have time to not do something with your life. You don't have time to waste valuable moments with your family, friends, loved ones. You don't. You don't have time, because literally at any moment, it could all be over. And not so much I'm saying that for you, if you know you die, but it's more so for the people that have to live and carry on with your memories. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. You know, that is what it is. But the people that love you and care about you, they still have to carry on your memories. And if you're that person that was a dick, or, you know, didn't lead a good life, or didn't contribute anything back, didn't love the people that loved you, then, you know, what kind of legacy is that? What are you leaving in this world? The world's already jacked up enough as it is. So I think for me, you know, that was my turning point, was when that happened. And then for some reason or another, I just keep getting bad death thrown in my eyes. Because 8 years ago, one of my other good friends out here died in a motorcycle accident. He ran into the back of a garbage truck on Golden Valley. It was a friend of mine, and died. So it's just, and then my father and all that. But I guess what I'm trying to tell everybody is you've got to take chances. You've got to laugh. You've got to enjoy the people around you. And you've got to do something that's contributing back to this world.
What do you think is the difference maker for the split that happens between the people where these tragedies happen to them?
Yeah.
And they go the direction of, they fall off the cliff, they become depressed, they become, they go the other way, the opposite way of you, which is, I can't even begin to imagine the sadness that happens in or around that time, and who knows how long it lasts for, if it ever even extinguishes completely. But you take those instances and you've turned those tragedies into strengths.
Yes.
Into making you who you are. What's the difference? Like, in your opinion, what is the difference between the people that go your direction versus the people that go the other direction?
Well, I mean, I think at the beginning of the day, it's your choice, for one. You can choose to, I mean, Shawshank Redemption said it best. You could either choose to get busy, you know, living, or get busy dying. And I think in those instances, it was so horrific, and just in watching how they died, and even, you know, how my father died, it's just so awful to me. And I think you have to have a love already in here somewhere for life and what you're doing. You have to have some kind of passion. And I'm a big family guy, and I have kids, and I love my kids. But like I said, I didn't really start getting into inspiring people until after that time, after my friends died. And it wasn't even that I meant to do that. I just started really working out and focusing on that. And that's what led into the whole training thing. And then from that, I learned, kind of like you did, like, oh, I am actually making differences. I'm helping people. I'm contributing back to society. And the older I got, the more inspiring I got. But I really don't think I started to become somebody who wanted to inspire others until after my father passed away. And it's because I made that choice. I find so much value in life that no matter what tragedy is tossed at us, you can choose. You can choose to give up, or you can choose to continue on. And I think for me, it was like, this is a horrible thing, and it was hard for me to deal with, but one day I'm going to die too. Never know. Maybe we'll be having beers again in heaven. I don't know. But little things like that are good little mantras that helped me get through it. And obviously the support from family and friends. But I think you really have to take that as a learning experience to share with others, because it is hard and people do need support. People aren't as strong as some of us are, and they do need our strength, because I've had to talk to plenty of people about this, and because they see me as a leader, but they see me as a vulnerable leader who's not afraid to share stuff like this, or even, you know, breaking down in tears, that makes them feel, you know, equally like it's okay.
I think you just hit it on the head. I mean, that's one thing that I try to stress to everybody. I think the best leaders and mentors and all of that stuff is just that. Like, they show, they're not just these godly, you know what I mean? They have nothing wrong with them. They do have instances of weakness, yeah, and vulnerability and just being human. And when they see people that are successful and inspiring, but they realize that they're the same, yeah, that gives them the ability to say like, oh, I could do that too.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. You know, if you're afraid to be vulnerable, you know, you shouldn't be, because that's what makes you human.
There's a study and about what determines success. They tried to control for as many different variables as possible. Super difficult study. Yeah. Who knows the exact accuracy of it, but I thought it was pretty cool. And they controlled for, all right, like how that individual grew up. You know, did they grow up in a financially, you know, wealthy home? You know, were they, you know, did they not have any money? Good neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods, different ethnicities. I mean, you name it, right? Like, mm-hmm. if we control for and put everything in the equation, what is the one thing, if possible, if we can find something that determines grit, or sorry, that determines, I just gave it away, that determines the success of an individual or the potential for success.
Yeah.
And what they came out with from this study was grit was the one thing that almost everybody had that, mm-hmm, was successful. They could have started from nothing and made their way to the top, or maybe they were handed daddy's fortune, but they still had to deal with adversity and they continued on their path to success.
Yeah.
But that grit, the ability to get punched in the mouth, the ability to deal with failure after failure, to deal with tragedy after tragedy, mm-hmm, but to keep going and to just knock down every wall that's in front of you. It doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down, that whole saying, you know what I mean? Like, fall down 72 times, get up 73 or whatever, yeah, it is. Like that is what makes you. And so, like, to me, the thing that is most closely linked to that is kind of what you said already, which is like, you make a choice and it's being positive. It's positivity. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter how much shit, how much mud that you get dragged through. At the end of the day, there's always something positive that you can take from it, that you can then take your tragedy and make it into, you know, a positive for whether it's you or somebody else. You, yeah, know what I mean? That you can then teach somebody else how to respond to it.
Yeah.
Negativity is the bane of success. Negativity is the bane of everything. But being able to stay positive and have that grit to not give a shit, to stay. There's a saying that, like, if you have, like when they talk about like CEOs and whatever of large companies, like the CEO that walks into the room that just had like their 70th failure like in a row and still is smiling and happy and like, let's go get them. Like, those are the people that are gonna win. Because we got one life, dude. Like you said, you got one shot, and making that choice to see it the right way is, it's all you got. So, do you see why I made him number one, episode number one, folks?
Yeah. No, I feel very honored to be able to share that story and all those stories. Is as graphic and as horrific as it all sounds, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just truth. And that's reality. That's the reality of life, is you don't know. You have no idea what's going to happen, but you can wake up every day and decide to make it the best day you can, no matter what happens. And you have the choice to not quit. You have the choice to not give up. You have the choice to keep pushing, no matter how hard things get. Yeah, you can be annoyed or pissed off, but you still have to be confident and positive, just like you were, you know, talking about, in your day-to-day choices, because you're going to get curveballs. You're going to have bad shit happen, and you're going to have really bad shit happen. But it's up to you, you know, to make the choice to grow, learn, and keep pushing forward, because, you know, there are people that do love you and care about you, and it's your job to be the best you that you can be, is what I think.
Pretty damn good message. Do you have, I almost feel like that's picture perfect. That is a clean way to end this. I mean, anything else you wanted to say, or I know we had talked about any questions you had for me or anything. I don't know if you want to ask. I feel like I would severely disappoint after such a solid performance there. So,
I mean, that's your call. I can totally ask you a question.
Oh God, here we go.
I mean, it kind of goes along with what we've all been talking about. I think my question would be to Tony V. What his biggest fear may be.
So normally I would say this is a very difficult question. Mm-hmm. Except that I've thought about this damn question a lot. And so, because it's something that I've asked myself. It's something that I think it's good to look within yourself so that you can determine what are your strengths, what are your fears, what are your weaknesses. And this is a question that I have looked at, and I think I have the answer. And that is, it's not, I want to preface my answer here, that it's not failure that I'm afraid of. Because I could give two shits about failing. Everything that I believe 100 times over is built on the idea that failure is like, I'd rather fail something 100 times rather than wake up with regret tomorrow, 20 years down the road, that I never tried.
Yeah.
My fear is not living up to my own expectations of myself. Not my expectations of my parents or my friends or my family or anyone watching. My fear, like I set my shit high, right? So my expectations for myself are about as high as you can get. And so I have, to a point, like an internal battle or internal fear of not being able to live up to my own
self. That's a good answer.
But it keeps that, I mean, I get into that. I think that's what motivates me. Like, I don't want to let myself down. You know what I mean? All those things. So I think that I've been able to turn my biggest fear into something that motivates me.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
All right, guys, that's it. Episode number one, the pilot, is in the books.
Nice.
Mr. Adam Hatley.
Thank you.
Holy crap, I can't say thank you enough, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. I feel honored to be episode one, even to be part of Afterburn. I mean, that speaks for itself. I've always been beyond grateful and thankful for being, you know, allowed to be here and part of this family from day one. I mean, this family has helped me provide and take care of my family, which speaks, you know, chapters and chapters of love and loyalty that I have. So,
I love you, brother.
Love you too, bro. Thank you.
That's it, guys. See you next time.
Woo!